KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
So, E3, it's this thing that's happening next month. Ari, are you going to be there?
Unfortunately, probably for about the third or fourth year in a row, I will not be there.
Okay. Basically, as soon as I started knowing you, you stopped going. I wonder if there's a correlation
It was directly related to me meeting you.
Yeah.
You've single-handedly destroyed my ambitions to repeatedly go to E3, even though I've been going since it was called CES, but...
Well, see, what's interesting is that we have a young gun in this room with us.
Indeed,
Colin.
Indeed, we do.
Colin's here again.
Hi.
He made it to the second week. He would like to go to E3. Hasn't been.
Never.
Hasn't been. You know, the problem with you, Colin, is that you don't have a video games professor who can sneak you into these things. I was lucky enough to have a mentor when I was going to Indiana University who led us. He showed us the way. All of us, the whole classroom.
And I was lucky enough to, back in 1994, Jesus, that makes me feel old, convince the people who made E3 that my 20 photocopied pages stapled together were...
A zine!
In fact, a legitimate publication.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I just want to thank Ed, if he's listening, which I know he's not. You know, thanks for that. 10, 12, 13 years strong of going to these silly events. So I'm burnt out on them at this point. And since I happen to be getting married like the week following, probably not going to go to
E3. You could like combine them and make it like an E3 wedding. I'm sure your wife would love that.
Dude, don't think it hasn't been proposed. But probably not going to be going. But Golgatron, our sister site, they're definitely going. And if you want to, you know, get in with them, and go with them, you can go as Chatterbox. So here's how you do it. You go to E3Expo.com. Are you listening, Colin?
Yes.
This is important. You go to E3Expo.com. I know you know how to use that newfangled web browser machine. There's a media area. It asks you to sign up. You, sir, are now officially part of broadcast journalism.
Woo!
AM radio, terrestrial radio. Not a lot of podcasters can say that, but we have an antenna.
We have terrestries.
Yes, exactly. So there are some credentials you have to submit to prove that you're bona fide. You got to get a letter from me on the letterhead. Got that taken care of. No problem. Down pat. Need your driver's license. You got one of those?
Got one of those.
All right, good. Phew. In Arizona, not everybody does. What's next? Business card. No problem. We can make that happen in time. So those three things, there might be some other stuff. You just got to sign up. We're past the deadline, so you're not going to get your stuff in the mail. But you go to the website, you figure it out, we'll make it happen. I don't know if I'll be able to be there with you. But I trust... Do you drink, Colin?
I'm only 20.
Only 20?
Yeah.
So
they are going to hate you over at Golgatron. Because you can't go to the parties with them. So as long as you're prepared up front to be completely left behind at certain times...
It's E3. I just really want to go.
This is your opportunity to practice exuding the aura of a 21-year-old. That nobody's compelled to ask you your age.
January.
Whew, out of luck, my friend.
Yeah.
And, ooh, you're not going to make it for CES either unless it's like January 2nd or something.
It's January 13th.
Yeah, not going
to
make it.
It's time to grow up. You're now 32 years old.
Yeah, because CES is where the real magic happens. But sometimes they don't check.
I guess grow up with a beard and I can be good to go.
I don't know if you're a drinker, but anyway. We aren't. Ara and I are not big drinkers.
It depends on your definition of big.
Well, you are big, but you're not a drinker.
I've been known to under duress on several occasions.
Okay, sure.
I would prefer to explain it as I'm a cheap date.
Okay, gotcha. I understand that. All right, so I'll introduce you to the Golgatron guys. They'll take you under their wing, and by that I mean put you in their car, because I know you don't have one of those, even though you're legally allowed to drive one. And maybe they can help you get down there. So moving beyond that, let's talk about actual things. I would like to talk about, believe it or not, I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks, iPad gaming, because there's something very interesting, something that I conceived in my own noggin several, at least weeks ago, potentially months.
I can think of a lot of things interesting about that.
I actually conceived of this long, long
shall
time ago.
Shall we just delve into it right now?
Well, I want to prepare the audience. What else are we going to be discussing?
Because they will never be prepared for the shock and awe that is this program. But we got some let's see, we've got some video game camps that adults don't like. We've got some protection plans from Sony that Ara doesn't like. We've got some there's some news from last week we never talked about Microsoft finally restructuring their point system.
I didn't know about that.
Infinity Ward, still in the news.
Really?
Got a couple things with that.
You know what puts them in the
news?
We
can talk about demos. We can talk about Rayplay some more.
We put them in the news by talking about them. Old hat.
This was us?
Well, no. Like, they're in the news today because we're choosing to talk about them right now. And they don't have
That's true.
So if we don't talk about them, they're not in the news right now. And it's
how,
really
how very
hat.
Metaphysical and... Yes.
Yeah. All right, Colin.
Yes.
Have you used an iPad?
No.
Okay. You're using basically an early version of iPad called a Macintosh right now. Have you used an iPhone?
Yes, and an iPod Touch. So it's like a big one of those, right?
Yeah. Well, you might claim that the iPhone is an iPad mini.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? That works.
Right, yeah.
To give it another name. Or as Saturday Night Live might put it, an iPad Paquito or something like that. I don't know if you ever saw that episode. Anyway, so the iPad, very much like an iPhone, like you pointed out, you can play games on it. So give me your idea of the ideal iPad game.
What's it called? It's the Flight Director. Greatest game ever created.
Flight Director.
Direct the planes with your finger to the stations.
And paper airplanes?
No, they're real. It's like they take Google Maps of the actual airports, and then you direct the planes into the airport, like where they're supposed to go.
That sounds super boring and easy.
It sounds boring and easy, but then if they run into each other, they explode, and it's game over.
Okay, so is this also on the iPad mini, or...
Yes.
Or you've just read about this for the iPad?
No, it's also on the Android phone, because I had a Droid, so I use that, and it's awesome.
Right on. Okay, we're mixing it up here, because I'm an iPhone user. Ara's a old school... Nothing.
My phone runs on potatoes.
Yeah. User. And now we've got a Droid over here.
But I know it sounds dumb, but it's like it gets insane because you're going to have like 40 planes all going at once.
I'm actually a fan of games with true graphics. I don't know if that's a coined term.
True graphics?
I'm going to call it true
what
graphics.
What does this mean?
Well, the original Mortal Kombat. And also...
Digitized graphics?
Yeah, The Last Man. Have you played The Last Man on the PlayStation 3?
No.
On the PlayStation Network?
Wait, is that the one with the zombies? And
yeah,
you just, like, control them? Yes.
Yeah, so the zombies are not real graphics, but the top down, the maps, the topos are actually they're not topos.
Yeah.
They're just
satellites. You know what I think about that stuff?
I love those.
Pure unadulterated sloth.
Yeah. Anyway, I like them. So here's what I'm going to tell. I had this idea before the iPad. Period. Before the iPad was announced. All right. You have a digital screen device coupled or tripled or quadrupled with mini screens like your iPhone, because I knew I had the iPhone. I was like, I'm playing a game right now. Specifically, I was thinking of Catan, how awesome it would be for Catan. I was like, okay, well, I have the Xbox 360 version of Catan, which sets up the board for me, dishes out the cards, all that stuff. There's no limit to the number of cards, which Klaus Tuber, the creator of the game, was always sad about, that there's a physical limitation to the number of cards that can be played. So the Xbox version doesn't have that limit. It does it all for you. It takes away all of the pain of getting it all set up. And even though they didn't give out the expansions for it, I'm a big Catan fan, by the way, Colin, if you hadn't been able to figure that out. So setting it up, pain in the butt. But I can't play with multiple people in one place unless I set up four Xboxes and everybody has Xbox Live and stuff. And that's just a limitation. But certainly any game where you have hidden data... Yeah, seriously? Bottled water?
No. I'm sorry.
During the break, my friend. So... any game, like a card game, like a poker game, you're not going to play poker on a video screen with multiple people unless you're connected and each person has their own video screen, right? But Catan, let's say you made it for the iPad, you could create the board, it'll set it all up, and then I use my iPhone as a secondary screen to show me what resources I have in my hand. And
this is your ultimate game idea. It's Catan,
yes,
for the iPad.
It's a videoized version of board games in general, where you have private information and community information. You have a center board that's physically large and displays things for people and sets things up automatically, distributes money and data, all that stuff. and then you have a secondary screen that can link to it and have your private data.
Yeah,
it's something that's sort of been done with the Dreamcast and the visual memory.
Didn't they do that with Scrabble?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, they actually did it with Scrabble, and they've done something similar with some sort of racing game. It, from the top, on the iPad, it looks like those old Sprint Cup games where it's just a top-down.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Right, but you use the iPhone potentially for video. I don't know what's on the screen, but also it's the controller. All right. Seriously, you both.
That was worse than the water.
Both of you. So the new thing, the racing game whose name I don't remember, sorry whoever developed you. The iPhone is the controller. Scrabble does do that with the tiles. It's my perfect vision. Board game with private data and community data. Beautiful. And we haven't discussed this in the past. Someone needs to make Catan for that. There's already Catan for the iPhone, right? Not the greatest version, has a couple problems, but Michaela seems to like it a lot.
Well, I mean, all that stuff's pretty cool, right? But the problem always with those types of things is the barrier of entry, right? Because you need a lot of hardware in order to make it work.
See, and I would argue that the barrier is actually lower than you might have thought.
It's lower than having, say, three Xbox 360s, of course, but
Just, you know, honestly, financially, it's more because an Xbox 360 costs less than an iPhone.
No, but I'm just saying it's probably easier to find like three people with an iPhone than three people with Xbox 360s who happen to have them on hand.
The iPhone happens to be not ubiquitous, but very popular. And so let's say I have a party at my house, guaranteed I'm going to have at least five iPhones there. I mean, heck, I already have four iPhones in my house all the time.
At your house, is probably two per person.
Exactly, right? But, like, even at work, right? Like, I work in a small group of, like, four or five people. Only one of them doesn't have an iPhone. So, you know, you tools out there that don't have one, I'm sorry. At least go get yourself an iPod Touch. It would work. It's not that expensive.
Yeah, potato power, that's all I have to say.
Yeah. But the iPad, you know, that'll go down in price eventually, whatever, they'll have new versions. Could do a great job of this electronified board games that's very portable. I mean, you pack it up. You don't need a TV. You don't need a video game system. You don't need a special controller. You're just, here, I'm bringing this with me. I don't have to carry around the cards. I don't have to spill them. I don't have to lose dice. Whatever, right? You bring it to the friend's house. Bam, lay it on the table. All done. And then the iPhone I already carry around is the other thing.
Yeah. I'm actually glad that they released the iPad and things like it, because it is, I think, about a million times better as a gaming platform than the iPhone. One of the main problems with the iPhone is your finger's the size of 25% of the screen, basically.
Your finger?
My finger, yes. Your finger may be 15, but still. That's a huge problem for playability. Developers have to do all kinds of things to get around that. It's really annoying. iPad,
so have you
not
seen
so
some really good potential with the iPad?
Well, yeah, there's way more space, right? So.
Wait a minute, have you actually seen something that has done a good job? A game on the iPad that makes you excited about having a game on the iPad?
Not personally, but I have a good imagination.
Plants vs. Zombies. You get the giant screen.
Is that out yet?
Yeah, for iPad.
Oh, man. I got to get my friend to get that. All right. Well, we're at the break. We'll be right back, folks.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Welcome back, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
It is. We never even mentioned that.
No, but we just did.
Just did. We kind of put it off for a bit.
That was like an avant-garde thing that we did with the not mentioning it.
It's a new style we've been testing out. I don't know if people like it.
Yeah.
If you want to call in, 866-536-1100, talk to us about our snobbery and how we open the show. It'd be fantastic. If you want to ask Colin any questions, like why he's willing to hang out with us, then you can do that too. Again, 866-536-1100. That's good anywhere in North America that isn't Mexico, I think. Anyway, give us a call. Also, our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. Apparently, I gave Colin the assignment of recreating the IRC chat room, and through will alone, he has made it work. It is working again. I'm guessing it was just the server or whatever was apparently taking a hiatus.
It was just through sheer determination of
maybe a month-long siesta.
That's right, of a 8-day long meditation ritual. Yeah. He made it come back to be.
So before we move on, I want to remind everyone about a school, a university that neither Ara nor myself or Colin attend. However, I did attend there even graduated from there. The University of Advancing Technology, UAT.edu is their website. Colin, did you know I went there?
I didn't know you went there.
No, just that I talk about it every day.
I just thought you liked it a lot.
I did. Now, it's not the only university
I've
attended.
Oh, my God, I've been there, and it's awesome. Like, I just remembered that I went and saw PodCamp, and I was, like, around. And
yeah, I was there at PodCamp.
Yeah, I was looking for you guys, but I didn't see you. But like,
I was only there for, like, maybe one or two sessions.
Yeah, I got there at the very end, but, like, they have the biggest screens on some of those computers. Like, I go from ASU where they, like they have MacBooks. Yeah, I mean, like, iMacs, which is nice, but they had, like, giant, like, Windows awesome screens.
Dude,
going
iMacs
on there.
Are pretty awesome.
They are, but these... Like, their whole computer lab was awesome.
Yeah, and they have, like, a dev GameCube you can just sit and play with and all that stuff. Nobody does, but it's there.
They had 360s in the lunchroom, and I was just like, are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They have problems with theft with that stuff, by the way.
I bet.
It's kind of a bummer that people would do that. It used to be pretty, you know, they don't mess with stuff, but it's not that way anymore.
Speaking of playing games indoors.
Games indoors.
We just happen to have a story all about this.
About playing video games?
Indoors.
Or playing games at a university.
Playing games indoors, sanctioned by a university.
Okay.
Even.
Are we talking about a camp?
We are talking about a camp.
Okay.
Okay, so in the continuing interest of unnecessary sensationalizing and fabricating stories where there aren't really any interesting ones.
Now, for the record, we don't do that.
We never do that, but
we just pick up the headlines.
As you know... A lot of outlets are wont to do such things.
Of course, not us, though.
So there's a story out there that says that this is in Canada, in British Columbia, where there's a summer camp that's hosted by the University of British Columbia. And this camp, it's a video game camp. And it's 3 hours a day, and it's $140 a week. And... Now, that's got to be Canadian dollars, but even still, kind of pricey to play games, but okay, fine.
Is it overnight camp?
No, it's only 3 hours a day, all right?
3 hours a day,
$180
a week?
Yeah, $140. Now.
It's only $28 a day.
So
probably feed them.
Right. So, I don't know. These people are doing a camp. Someone does a story about it, so they go to... organizations such as Active Healthy Kids Canada, right? And the professors in the Department of Medicine at the University of British Columbia, and they say, oh, what do you think about this camp? They're playing video games indoors for 3 hours. And what's the response? Obviously, right, you expect them to say, oh, this is horrible. You shouldn't let kids play video games so long. It's the summer. They're kids. They should be doing non-video game related things.
3 hours isn't that bad when you got a whole day.
Well, here's the thing, right? It's like it's only 3 hours, okay? Two, in fact, and I don't even know if this is a reaction to this poo-pooing of the camp or if it was already there, but they actually have structured time where they do go outside and do outside activities.
It'd be interesting to have them play video basketball and then real basketball.
That would be kind of fun.
Or, you know,
that would be
the equivalent
cool.
with another sport.
But I just wanted to bring this up because I think that a lot of people who are complaining about this are really just searching for things to complain about.
Well, you said they went and asked people what they think, but you didn't say what they think.
Well, for example, right, this professor, Heather McKay, in University of British Columbia's Department of Medicine, says she's troubled by the program, right? So, quote, she says, seems to be going exactly in the wrong direction we want children to be going in the summer months. They should be engaged in unstructured play, should be outside, blah, 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 the whole spiel.
Dude, if they were indoors playing a board game, which is no different than playing a video game, like in terms
this is the story, and I'm even going to just turn this into a discussion about the press in general. This story just seems so contrived, and there's sufficient number of groups that are for and against various things that it's just almost like, oh, okay, we have a story that this happens. Let's go find the people who vehemently oppose this because invariably there are some and they're attached to some named organization. And let's get their boilerplate comments because, you know, if you're the CEO of Active Healthy Kids Canada, like Michelle Brownrigg is, no doubt you will say, quote, we already have a society that is spending an excessive amount of time in front of screens, both adults and kids, right? So, okay, fine. That's – maybe everybody should be exercising more. You know, that's a great goal to have, right? But You know, what does that mean? Does that mean that this summer camp should not exist? I'll tell you something.
I want to know if they allow M-rated games.
I teach a summer camp. I've taught a summer camp in the past couple years. And this is, I would like to ask such people that complain about this what they think about this program that I'm engaged in. Because we spend 7 or 8 hours a day and we teach high schoolers to make games. And you know what? Yeah, you're sitting down in front of a computer for several hours. You know, that's what you got to do if you're making a game, right?
I think the difference there is that you're helping develop a useful skill later on.
Well, perhaps.
Or for later.
Perhaps, right? But, I mean, I would even argue that depending on the kind of game you're playing, you could also be developing useful skills or unuseful skills.
You do have a tendency
skills.
To make that point.
Yeah. So, it depends on the game, right? But overall, it's like, yeah, it's this, the existence of the summer camp or such summer camps is not what people should be complaining about. If we have an obesity problem in the country or in the world, which in general most people say we do, right, then there's something else there that's a problem. It's not the existence of a video game camp.
Well, listen, that's Canada. It's not America. There's no obesity in Canada.
Yeah.
So, it's America.
Well, if they've got obesity problems in Canada, we're deep.
But
doo-doo.
You know what? What's funny to me is that I bet you've got some parents sending their kids to this camp. And back me up, Colin. I bet they've got some people going to this camp because their parents worry that they would play too many video games if they didn't go. So this way they play just 3 hours instead of 7 hours. They play 3 hours and then they do some other stuff outside, more, you know, the unstructured activities, whereas if they stayed at home, they would just sit around and,
yeah,
and
perhaps.
Play Final Fantasy 13
I could totally
for 12
see
hours.
That.
Well, the coolest part of the story, I thought, was that they showed they brought kids to developers, or developers came to them, and they talked about like designing games and stuff like that. Was that
right,
part of
it? Right, so this is integral to the camp, too, right? So one of the things that this camp does is they take you to like a game development studio, or you get to talk to video game developers, and I guess, you know, they never mentioned the age of the kids, and I guess it's...
That was my next
the
question.
The seriousness of this is a function of the age, right? Because I think if they're under 7, then, yeah, okay, probably not the best thing. If they're over 7, then, okay, it starts getting into not-so-bad territory. 7's the threshold for everything, by the way. I have learned and divined this number.
Okay.
Once you're turned 7 years old, a lot of people don't know this. You have decided the path in the rest of your life.
I don't know if that's true.
Because it's true.
I'm 31 and have not decided the path of the rest of my life.
Yeah, but see, in 7, you decided that by 31, you would not decide what your path is.
Oh, okay, this is
what the famed transactional analyst Eric Byrne taught me.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I know that we have a little bit of time. I want to. We've got Joe on the phone. I want to take Joe live on the air. Joe. Almost Joe. Is Norm listening? Is he paying attention? Can we get Joe on the air? Joe from Pittsburgh.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Joe?
Joe.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
We're just saying
hi. Can we put Joe back on hold? All right, thanks.
Bye, Joe.
Okay, that was a fantastic call.
That was a lot of fun. Joe, we'll get to you soon. I just wanted to let you know we know that you're there and not gonna talk to you yet. That was my dick move.
This is goes to your seductive nature.
If it could have been more smooth to me, it would have just been like, hey, Joe, hi, bye, Joe, and we'll get back to you, right? But that it didn't work out because you guys were all...
Now he's just pining to come back on, and all the listeners just can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, it's that whole idea that you appreciate what you've waited for more than if you didn't have to wait for it.
Or if you got beaten for it.
Okay. Well, we'll be back after the break, and we'll take an actual phone call from Joe from Pittsburgh. We'll be right back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
All right, we are back. Despite the fact that I don't know how to use the phone system, we do take phone calls. 866-536-1100. That'll call the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show as long as you're listening live. If you're not, don't call that number because you won't get us. you might get, what, Laura Ingraham or Dr. Laura, or I don't know if they're the same person.
It'll be kind of like Carol Blonder.
What was that, Norm?
Or even worse, Carol Blonder.
Carol Blonder.
Well, that just sounds horrible.
Maybe.
This sounds worse than Detroit.
Man, have you guys heard the shows that come on right before us?
Oh, yeah. I was listening to it in the lobby. It was something different.
That is good stuff.
Yeah, it reminds me of the feeling of a drill piercing my head.
Let me tell our listeners, if you join us in the live stream at hour 9 p.m., whatever time that is for you, just to listen to us, you, dear sir and madam, are missing out. Because, wow, there is some excellent content beforehand. So tune in to KFNX early next time you have the chance, preferably an entire hour early, and you will get some of the best programming this side of 5000 BC.
You thought you loved our show before. That will turn you into a believer for the rest of your life.
Exactly. Okay, so what are we talking about so far? iPad and video game camp. I don't know if I care that much about video game camp.
We're done talking about the video game camp.
Okay. We have the potential to discuss Infinity Ward. I'd love to veto it unless there's something...
We still have a caller that's waiting patiently, you know.
Okay. You convinced me. No Infinity Ward? Maybe we get Joe to talk about Infinity Ward.
Maybe we can.
All right, Joe.
What's up, guys?
Oh, there he
What's
is.
What's happening, Joe? Joe, you sound a little bit listless now that we've put you on hold for so long.
It's all good. You know what, though? I can barely hear you, Aura.
Okay, so maybe I'm the one who sounds listless. But that's all good.
All right, so Joe, what can we do for you? Have you met Colin?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, man?
Nothing much.
Having a good time down there?
Yeah, it's been a bunch of fun.
Good, good. I had a blast down there myself.
So, okay, it's not that much of a blast, though.
The reason I was calling was, when you guys mentioned E3, Nintendo's going to be unveiling a new console. Well, not a new console, a new handheld at the E3 show. Did you guys know about that?
The 3DS? How could we not know?
My question for you guys was, do you think it's going to be decent, or do you think it's going to be another Virtual Boy?
All right, first of all, don't you talk down to my Virtual Boy.
I know, you did speak highly of it while I was down there.
Dude, the Virtual Boy was awesome and underappreciated.
Yeah, it was just the wrong time. That was the thing with the Virtual Boy.
I thought there was like 5 or 6.
No, there might have been 5 that you could actually find in a store, but there were more.
There was at least 8 games.
And it was no region lock. You could get Japanese games and they would work too.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, that thing was awesome. I think I've told the story on the air before about how I brought that. It could work off batteries. It was technically a portable system.
Yep.
And I totally used that on an airplane once.
Batteries in the controller.
Yeah. I laid it on the tray table thing and, you know, had my head peeking into the deal. It was pretty cool.
That's hot stuff. I like the Virtual Boy, too.
It was the first portable system I ever owned.
I spend many nights with the Virtual Boy hood balanced on my head in bed.
You did or you do?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine was used from a house with a lot of smoking from the parents.
That smells
and
great.
And unfortunately, it still retains an odor of whatever brand of cigarette they smoked.
So you got Smell-O-Vision for free in addition to 3D.
Oh, I totally did. It was really funny. But you know how a lot of old video games like Pac-Man or whatever, tabletops, existed in bars back when you could actually smoke in a bar. So it kind of brought me back to that old video game style.
I wonder if it was because of the red that it didn't take off.
I think it was mostly the color and the weirdness of it.
Yeah. See, I think back then, a lot of people weren't comfortable with buying video game products that were so prong-like and spindly. And I think that just confused and angered people.
What
and
does prong-like mean?
See, the Virtual Boy has all these prong-like things.
It's you mean the handles?
Yeah, well, there's that, and then there's the stand, and there's just like... You put it, it's just, I think it was just too strange for its time.
So, do you think that because people got sick with the Virtual Boy, that could happen with a 3DS? Like, how is it even going to work to hold it straight to see it?
No, we don't know enough about it, right? Joe, tell me everything you know about the 3DS so far.
What I read, and of course this is what I read, it's obviously not fact, but apparently they are in a partnership with Sharp, who designed, I think it's called a 3D parallax screen or something like that.
And a glassesless 3D system.
Yes, yes, exactly. 3D with no glasses. And it's supposed to be dual screen as well, like the DS.
And that's all you know about it?
That's all I know about it.
Okay.
Because they're supposed to have a big unveiling at E3.
That's about what everybody knows about it. So Unfortunately, like when I tried to find the little bit that I could find on it, like I'm not sure they even made it clear that it was going to be 3D. Obviously, they seem to be calling it 3DS or saying it's going to do some 3D thing, but I'm not confident that it's going to be leaping out at our eyes. And
I also wonder how it'll work with people who use contacts, because we just found out at my job that if people have contacts, certain contact lenses, or certain types of glasses, they're not going to be able to use 3D TV.
I don't know how true that is. I mean, you know a lot about TVs, but if you can get your vision corrected to be normal vision and you have function in both your eyeballs, then 3D
apparently
should not be a problem.
It's something with the contact, certain contact lenses. We got a big thing on it from like Samsung and Sony. They were saying, yeah, SP. I have the sheet up back on my store. I'll have to.
That's really interesting.
I didn't care because I didn't have them yet. But,
well, I can tell you that glasses 3D is really annoying when you already wear glasses. That's one thing that bugs me about it. But the glasses lists, seriously, if you can see through both your eyes and you see normal vision, then you should be fine perceiving any 3D.
Referring to the actual glasses that people with contacts will have issues with.
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting, by the way, I have a surprising number of friends who only have one eye, or function of one eye, which is...
This is very
sorry,
scary.
Guys.
So I guess the solution would be...
Just calling them all out on the air.
if your contacts interfere, then it's time to get human contacts.
I guess
like
so.
Made out of a human iris.
What's up, Colin?
Well, I was just thinking, like, if they... It costs more to do the non-glasses 3D, right? Like, that's the big
problem. Yeah, the other thing is wondering how much it's going to cost.
Well, actually, I mean, I don't know that there's a big cost difference.
Because
it's just a question of, like, a coding or something on the screen. I don't know that it's a huge difference. The trouble there, though, is that I think you actually lose some of the screen on the left and the right. And given that it's portable, real estate's really important. So, I don't know. Plus, it also changes, like, you have to look at from the proper angle and all that.
Yeah.
So, like, I've seen glassesless 3D TV, and it sucked. Sucked big time. Like, you could tell that was not a normal screen. It wasn't like, you turn on a TV, okay, now make it 3D, and it just jumps out at you. Like, there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on that screen. It's got weird glare, and you have to look at it from the right angle, and if you don't look at it from the right angle, then the 3D stops working in, like, a vertical line, and you don't see it. And so, with a portable...
Sounds like a lenticular display or something describing.
I don't even know what that means. But with a portable, luckily it's a very small screen and you have the ability to place it exactly where it needs to be. So it's less of an issue in terms of angle of view. But I have a hard time believing that it's going to do a good job of producing 3D with such a small screen, however big it is, even if they made it a 4-inch screen, which they're not.
That's kind of my thoughts on it, too.
But it's very much wait and see. Like, the 3D I saw was 2 years ago. I didn't see any glassless 3D this past year at CES, which was a little bit surprising to me considering the 3D stuff. But I guess they were just focusing on this new glasses technology, which is actually pretty good. But it, by itself, also has problems, right? Even with the glasses, where you have the higher technology, it's not so much that it's a problem with the 3D. It's just stuff doesn't work all the time. You end up seeing split images, especially with things that are really far in the foreground. I don't want to see two sets of blades of grass. I should just see one. And if you can't make it work, then just don't do 3D, in my opinion.
Well, I'm going to stake a claim. Actually, I'm going to even go farther, and I'm going to make a prediction. I don't think that 3D TV, whether in the context of video games or not, is really going to be that all hot, unless they make it so that people have no choice but to buy televisions that support it.
You know what? Let me give you my true gamer analysis for this. This is, I've kind of wasted 10 minutes blabbering on about useless stuff. This is the part that's important in terms of Nintendo and their potentially 3D device. I can tell you this with near certainty. Nintendo would not make a significant change like this to some device of theirs, whether it's a home console or a portable console, whatever, unless they felt it had an effect on game mechanics, right? So it's not going to be just to make it look different. That's one of the reasons they didn't push too hard on HD. Obviously, the cost, you know, and they hid that it was just to make it cheaper by saying, who needs HD? But they're not going to make a huge change unless it has some serious implications in terms of gameplay.
I disagree with that.
I think that's true. Now, the Virtual Boy had some serious implications. The 3D worked really well on the Virtual Boy. You know, I don't know if it worked as well or better than the current 3D glasses technology, but it worked really well, especially for the time. And they made sure it worked well by putting you in an enclosed, you know, scenario or environment when with certain distance and things like that. So they had a strong control over what it was like. If it doesn't work well in terms of the 3D vision part, then it's not going to be able to have gameplay implications. It has to work really well. So that's why I'm kind of thinking people are taking this whole 3D moniker, 3DS moniker, out of context. That's not really going to be what you think it is. It might have some different type of 3D than the current 3D graphics, but I don't know if it's going to be jump off the screen 3D. And that's why I'm definitely waiting to see and bating my breath. If they can make me actually go into that screen and play the game differently, then kudos to them.
All right.
Well, while you're baiting your breath, we'll show you what lenticular means over the break, and we'll be back.
Anything else, Joe? No! Goodbye, Joe.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, where we talk about video games.
And UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. Right, Colin?
Woo!
Don't you wish you could spend more time there than just going to pod camp?
I wish I played around those screens, but I was locked out. I couldn't really log in, so that was the only problem.
Oh, I have a login. I can go in there.
Oh, nice. Can I borrow it? Just go play some games?
I don't have to go there and log you in, but yeah. I wonder if I still remember my password. Man, it's been a long time. Actually, last time I tried to get in, I couldn't. But I could go back. It'd be fine. I'm still upset. They lost a piece of art that I made one time. That still burns. Burns in my brain. Anyway, they do actually do a bunch of cool things, like PodCamp for one, and other things that I can't seem to remember now. But they do like tech talks or something, like a whole week of, or maybe just a weekend, of cool smart people coming and talking about cool sort of smart stuff. Not necessarily just video game related stuff, so it's good. And you should spend time there or figure out what it is they're doing. I'm not able to get by there enough. But Aura, you've been there a couple times, haven't you?
Not at all.
Never?
Not even close.
I would think that you'd be involved.
What can I say? Surprises happen every day.
All right. So we were talking about the Nintendo 3DS, and we're kind of curious about it. I would like our listeners who see... I showed you, Aura, this YouTube video once of this company that created a hologram thing. It was the wildest thing. I want to call it 3D because it was kind of 3D-ish. It was just this printed thing. It wasn't electronic in any way. It didn't use electricity. It was just this printed thing that had like some sort of glass over it.
Looked like 3D.
But it totally looked like 3D, but it, not so much that it came out at you. Just you could look around it. It was like... Imagine having a painted image. Okay, here's...
It was like you're basically looking into a hole that was the sheet of whatever that was.
You ever see Blade Runner, Colin?
Yes.
I haven't seen Blade Runner. However, I've seen the absurd clip from Blade Runner where they go into some security recording, some security footage, and they're able to, like, alter it and look around the room even though they only recorded video from one angle, right? Like
right.
Matrix
yeah, I know
style,
what you're
right?
About. Yeah.
That's I'm guessing a famous scene in Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, never seen it, but wow, was that absurd. Okay, so imagine having a printed piece of paper or printed glass or something where you could totally do that. It's real, and it's wild. Now, clearly, they did record all of that data, but the fact is they somehow got a way to print that on a solid thing. It's just a painting. It's weird. I'm sure there's some sort of crazy lens stuff going on. But as, like, you rotate this flat piece of glass around, it's like you're looking at different angles of, let's say, the building, right? They used buildings because the geometry of a building probably shows up better in that type of thing. Even on the video, you could see it happening. You rotate it, and you can see the other side of the building and stuff. Like, the wildest thing.
So your prediction for the 3DS is that it will use this technology?
No! Because it probably had some sort of special printing and lens stuff in it. But I... would love somehow to build video games into that someday. And I want our listeners to find me that video again because I did not favorite it or anything, and I should be able to see that for the rest of my life. So somebody find that for me. I can't remember the name of the company, and email me, chatterboxgameshow.com. We got our emails up there, Alon at, Aura at, whatever. But that was awesome. See, it was pretty awesome.
That's only interesting to me if I can say enhance before zooming in repeatedly.
Enhance.
Yeah, then that'll just take.
Well, like, I have no idea how that technology works. We should call the guy and just be like, hey, you think this could work with video games one day? And he'll be like, no way, not the way we build it. But it's crazy awesome. So go look at that, even if it's not video game related.
All right. So how about some other topics that we said we'd cover?
Yes, I want Colin. Okay. I want Colin to bring something to the table here.
Well, we've.
It was finals week. I'm sorry. It's been insanity.
Okay. Let's go through a couple of quickies, and then maybe by then Colin can think of something interesting.
Okay.
So this was announced actually a couple weeks ago, so we were a little tardy in reporting this, but this is interesting. Microsoft finally now is decided to sell you points in what we would describe as rational denominations, right? So in other words, things cost 400 points, 800 points, and so on, 1,200, 1,600, right? Multiples of 400.
You can buy that number of points.
Now you can buy that number of points, right? So you won't have – well, it's funny because you could say now you won't have inexorably a quantity of points that you can never spend, but that's only for new customers. See, all the millions of customers who have – like 160 points just laying around on their account. Like, yeah, you're going to have to buy the retarded picture pack or something to try and spend some of that odd number out.
Or if you just do that several times, then your 160 will add up easily to 1600 points and be divisible by your 1600 or your 12.
Well, no, but if you have like 160 extra, you can't just multiply that. I mean,
well, how'd you get 160 in the first place?
That's because
by using some amount, and you had a remainder.
They're not letting you purchase in the odd number anymore, right? So now you're purchasing in the even number of stuff that they're selling. So
you can't just buy in whatever denomination you want?
No, you cannot do this. You can only buy in...
So it used to be, though, you could buy 1,200, 1,600. Like, those were available amounts.
It was...
Or 800 was. And 600
right.
Was.
I don't remember the old denominations. Okay. Let's look at the report here, guys. No, see, previously, the increments, they were sold in increments of 500.
Yeah.
Right? And things...
No, but I've seen cards sold in stores and, like, Amazon and stuff for a long time. 1,600 point cards.
Weren't they 1,500? Because I just got a card that was 1,500.
I think they were 16.
Okay, well...
Listen, I'm imperfect.
Look, according to this report...
Only just barely, by the way.
It's multiples of 500, okay? So, look... Whatever
you're also
it is,
talking about digital can... purchases, though. You're not talking about card purchases.
Okay, look, whatever the amount is, it doesn't matter.
Because now it's better.
Because before, and you can't argue against this, before you were forced to buy amounts that didn't match up with the cost of things. Okay, you were forced to buy points in a denomination that wasn't the same.
Amazon has Xbox 360 Live, 1,600 points.
Yeah, this is now. Right. So.
No, but I've seen this for a long time.
Okay, perhaps you have. Okay. Well, okay, let's just go on.
They also have 4,000 points.
I don't want to argue about this, about the semantics of this story.
Okay.
So let's go on to something else. Colin.
So you just submit to me that I'm right?
No.
Since you don't want to argue it.
No, because we've been spending 5 minutes arguing on a ridiculous point. That's why. So it's not worth it.
Nope, that's fine.
And we've done enough of a disservice to our listeners.
Okay. Sure.
So Colin.
Facepalm. Okay. I just wanted to say that the Humble Indie Pack, which just came out today, I believe it just came out today. It's on wolffire.com/humble. And what you get is you can buy 5 games and pay whatever you want. So it's like World of Goo.
You're buying the package of 5 games, or these 5 games all have this rule of pay
the package of 5 games. Okay. All come, and you just pay whatever amount that you want.
Now, World of Goo did this by itself before.
Yes, it did.
And it was very successful.
Yes.
They actually made more money, I think, like per paid game than they did when they just sold the game.
This is actually my second time buying World of Goo, because I bought it and that first time they didn't pay what you want, and I was just like, I can buy it again.
How much did you give them?
Give them like $5.
All right.
I'm a broke college kid. I don't have any money.
I think that was the common amount.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to fault you for that. But, I mean, you could have just paid a penny.
I could have. But that would have been negative money for them, wouldn't it?
I don't know how the credit card companies have handled microtransactions. For situations like that, you would think that they would allow you to say, we're going to push through all these transactions, and you just take a bigger cut at the end. Instead of 2%, you know, 2.5% plus 25 cents a transaction,
yeah,
or 35 cents or whatever it is, you just take 10% of everything and forget about the per transaction fees.
But, you know, they've restaurants have done experiments where they say, we'll give you a meal and you can just pay whatever you want. And they actually found out that people tend to pay more than what they would typically charge. So I think this is happening with Colin.
They don't want to feel cheap.
Yeah, I don't know if it's they don't want to feel cheap. Maybe they just want to give the amount that they feel it's worth.
But
do you think that would work for all of us?
Not for all of us, for some of us.
Dude, I had an excellent lunch today, and it was only $6.
I will tell you, I have paid $5 or less for a meal that I would pay $20 for, and I've paid $20 for a meal that I don't think was even worth $5. And that happened a few weeks ago.
Can you name either of these restaurants?
Yes, I can name one of them.
Okay.
But we'll spare them the grief.
Okay. So what games are included in this package?
Okay, you got World of Goo. Which is awesome.
That's
I played
a big one.
Gish, which I heard about and I needed to play. It's like a platformer, for what I can tell.
Heard good things about that.
Yes.
World of Goo, I did not love that much.
You didn't like it?
Everybody seemed to love it. Everybody does. I played it on the Wii, which is supposed to be a good version of it. And,
Yeah, I play on the PC, and like I don't know. I feel like it'd be hard to control in the Wii because you need to be like precise with it.
You can be precise, man. You can be precise.
Yeah, but you get Gish, World of Goo, Aquaria, which I never heard of, Lugaro HD, which I never heard of, and Penumbra Overture, which looks pretty.
It's HD, dude.
Yes, so it's gotta be awesome. But you pay what you want. You can also donate your money to the EFF or Child's Play. Like they have the option. It's like, do you want to give some to the developers or just donate it all or whatever? And you get it on Linux, Windows, and a Mac. You can get all three of those.
So you get all of them.
Yes.
15 versions.
You're just like, do I want to download that? Okay.
Where do you go to get this? Wolffire?
Wolffire.com/humble. Or look up the Humble Indie Bundle. And
the Humble Indie Bundle.
That's what they're calling it.
All right. Well, thanks to Colin for our, what I want to call that? Our charitable contribution of the week?
Sure.
Or?
Why not?
Daily savings tip.
Sure. Is that savings or giving? You're giving money.
You're doing both.
Okay.
It's a deal for you.
I mean,
by giving money, you're saving money.
Okay. Well, as always, we will be back next week, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Send Colin some email by sending me an email. I'll let him know. Bye.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.